pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26 says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Well, that he might sanctify and cleanse what? That is the church, of course, that he's speaking of here. That is that Paul the Apostle is speaking of. Well, who is the he that he might sanctify? Well, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That he is the one who's going to sanctify. He cleansed those individuals who make up his church. That's those saved people who have trusted him for salvation. And we look at that verse, and he's going to cleanse it, and he's going to sanctify it. Well, how is he going to do that? How does the inward washing, the Bible talks about the inward washing here in that verse. It's by the word. Now, there's a lot of confusion that surrounds that, the washing of water. But if someone would go ahead and read, they would understand what it's speaking of. Some people teach that you must be baptized in order to be saved, wash in the water, it says. You know, they say it says, but if they would continue to read, it says by the word. It's the word of God that cleanses us. And John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The believer is sanctified, in other words, purified by the word of God. God's word is like a scrubbing cleanser that goes to work when the believer reads and studies it. And just as we needed a soul cleansing by Jesus Christ when he saved us, we need a daily cleansing from the Word of God. Not to be saved again or to stay saved, but because we are saved. This world is dirty. It's a dirty place, and sometimes we get dirty. When we get dirty, we need to confess our dirtiness to our Heavenly Father, because if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. And we need to do as David did in Psalm 51:2. He said that, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Psalm 51:2. We confess sin to God not to be saved again, not to stay saved, but to get rid of dirt. Well, now we look in verse 27 where it says that he, that's Christ again, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Notice verse 27, the first part of that verse, that he might present it to himself. This, of course, is speaking of Christ presenting the church in the last day, when he shall receive the church as his spouse to heaven. Revelation 19:7 says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And then in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 9, it says, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Well, those whom he presents to himself are those who are saved during this dispensation. Some call this the dispensation of the church, while others call it the dispensation of grace. And I submit to you that all dispensations that they are mentioned in the Word of God, I submit to you that all of those dispensations are the dispensation of grace. People have been saved the same way for thousands of years since the world began because of God's grace. Even Adam and Eve, in the beginning, when they sinned, The Bible says, "Wherefore, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men." Why? Because all have sinned. But Adam got forgiveness. It was by God's grace. So we see that all through every dispensation, that God has saved people through His grace. Now, I suppose that we could say at present that the Lord, now we're thinking about the Lord and His church here, and I suppose we could say at the present time, the Lord is preparing the church to be presented to Him. Notice it says that it's a glorious church. Well, this is a church, a people, full of honor, magnificent beauty and splendor. And we could say a church, a people, who are shining examples of God's great grace. It's bestowed on all who will receive it. This, of course, is a reference to a bride adorned for her husband, a glorious church. We read of this in Psalm 45, verses 9 through 14, that there's a bride adorned for her husband. And we could compare this with the church being adorned for Christ. Psalm 45. Start reading with verse 9. We're going to read down through verse 14. It says, "King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen of gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord. And worship thou him, and the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee." Well, the idea of Ephesians 5:27 is that of the church, who will be worthy of the love of the bridegroom when presented to him. Now, we can go back and start looking here in Psalm 45, verses 9 through 14, and we see a lot of likenesses there about the bride of Christ and Him, the King. And we're going to be presented to Him one day, and that's those of us who have been born again. We're saved during this time period that we live in, during this dispensation. I believe it's the dispensation of the church. Well, notice, verse 27 continues. The idea here is that the church is going to be worthy. Notice the verse as it continues, not having spot. Well, this means no stain of impurity. There is no defect whatsoever because Christ has taken care to remove every blemish. Well, how could this be done? Well, He shed His blood on the cross of Calvary. He saved us. He cleansed us. There is no one who can lay a charge to us because we have been born again. We're saved. We're on our way to heaven, not because of ourselves, but because of the Lord Jesus Christ. The verse says, not having spot, and goes on to say, or wrinkle. Well, this would be such as a young person who shows no evidence of age. Can you imagine that? One day of not showing any evidence of being old, of having any wrinkles whatsoever. Well, will there be evidence of old age for the believer in heaven? The verdict is in. Ephesians 5:27 says no wrinkle. Not having spot or wrinkle. There's nothing that would mar our beauty. You say, you think you're going to be beautiful? I sure do, because I'm one of Christ's chosen ones. You say, how were you chosen? I was chosen before the foundation of the world. You say, you mean you're a hyper-Calvinist? I didn't say that. I said, I was chosen before the foundation of the world. And in fact, every person in this world is chosen. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That word whosoever means everybody. God knew that Jesus Christ would come into this world to seek and to save those who are lost. I was one of those lost ones until I trusted Him as my Lord and Savior. Jesus knew, God knew, that I would be saved before the foundation of the world. That doesn't mean that he said, okay, you're going to be saved and that's it. No, that's not the way it works. I had to come to a place in my life where I realized that I was lost on my way to a devil's hell, and I needed Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. You may be wondering, does that make me perfect? Well, I'm not perfect here, but in the sight of God, I am perfect, not myself, but through the Lord Jesus Christ. The real person, me, that person is saved, and nothing can change that. Because Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross of Calvary, he said, "It is finished." That means that when he died, he went to the grave and he came out of that grave alive. When he said, "It is finished," that means that the devil's been defeated. That means that anyone can go to heaven because he finished his work. I depend upon the finished work of Jesus Christ to get me to heaven. I can't get there without him. So I've trusted him as my Lord and Savior. And if you haven't trusted him as your Lord and Savior, you need to do so. And then you can be part of his church, not having spot or wrinkle, no stains, or any such thing, the verse goes on to say. There is nothing to disfigure, to deform, or offend when it comes to the bride of Christ. Perfectness. In verse 27, we have the beautiful illustration of the final glory of the church. And Paul, led by the Holy Spirit, mentions the relation of the husband and wife in the next verse. You see, while on earth, we are preparing for the time of purity. This old body is not pure right now. This old body is not going to go to heaven. This old body is going to be changed. That's the reason I'm not going to have a spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. There will be a time of total purification. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be." You see, we don't know what we're going to look like, but we know that when he shall appear, that's Christ, we shall be like him. Why? For we shall see him as he is. We will have new bodies that have none of the old nature. Our bodies will be totally changed. Not only will our vile bodies that we have now on earth be changed at Christ's coming for us, but so also will our old vile nature be changed. To be like Christ means total purity. At Christ's appearing, when he comes for us, either at death or at the rapture, then will our purification be complete. Do you know him today as your Lord and Savior? If you don't, you need to ask him to come into your heart. He wants to save you right now. God sent his only begotten Son into this world to die for each of us. He sent his only begotten Son into this world not only to die, but to live for us. Because Jesus Christ was crucified, he was buried, and he was resurrected on that third day. There were over 500 witnesses saw him at one time. He is alive, and he wants to draw all men unto him. And he's drawing you right now. If you've never trusted him, right now is the time for you to trust him as Lord and Savior. "Lord Jesus, I know I can't save myself. I've changed my mind, Lord. I can't go by my way. I'm going to go by your way." Your way is to trust you, to ask you to come into my heart. "Lord, I'm not going my way any longer. I want you to save me so that I can go to heaven." If you'll pray a prayer and ask Jesus to save you today, changing your mind that you're a sinner, and change your mind and realize that you're not good enough to go to heaven on your own, but you need Jesus Christ. Ask him to come into your heart today, and he'll save you if you'll just trust him right now. Ask him into your heart.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.